Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show.
Well, I gotta say, my city's in the news. And not in the way that I want it to be in the news. I mean, I like when my city's in the news, like Villanova Wildcats win the NCAA National Basketball Championship. I mean, technically it's not in Philly, but it's close to Philly, so we'll count it. And I like when my city's in the news about things like the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, being the best team in the NFL, although I didn't watch because, you know, I was boycotting the NFL, but I still like to see good things happen in or around my city. But unfortunately, my city's been in the news recently, and it has something to do with black coffee. And with this 1 minute clip I'm about to play, maybe you have heard what I'm talking about.
Black guys sitting here meeting?
Yes, I did.
Well, what did they do? What did they do? Someone told me what they did.
They didn't do anything. I saw the entire thing.
They didn't.
They did. The woman says her customer. They didn't do anything.
Hey.
What happened and the way that incident escalated and the outcome was nothing but reprehensible. And I'm sorry.
Coffee is anti-black.
Harlem's coffee is anti-black.
A whole lot of racism, a whole lot of crap.
A whole lot of racism, a whole lot of crap.
If we can't get it,
shut it down.
If we can't get it,
shut it down.
When I saw the video, I was disturbed, I was pissed off, and I was angered. As a person who actually is a big Starbucks fan, or was, that's my go-to place. You're looking at a gold member right now, no longer.
Well now, if you haven't heard, there was some stuff going down at a Starbucks in Philadelphia in the Rittenhouse Town Square area. And I wasn't quite sure where to go about this topic, because it seems like stuff like this happens time and time and time and time again. And I understand, underdogs out there, if you're tired. Tired of being calm. Tired of hearing this is the last time. Tired of being depicted as the villain. Tired of having the code switch off. So tired that you might not even want to keep going. But this wouldn't be a show for underdogs if we didn't talk about it, so we're going to. And this whole thing had me thinking about friends and allies and things like that. And I thought about, you ever have a friend where you have mixed feelings about them? You know, they didn't grow up the same way you grew up. You guys may be from different cultures, different backgrounds, different sides of town. But for whatever reason, they end up becoming cool with you. You cool with them. But there's always a bit of a love-hate relationship. Right? It's that friend who's not quite like you, who says stuff like they don't see color. And you know that they mean well, but you're a little put off, a little about it. But at the same time, you're like, oh, but my friend, they do a lot of stuff in the community, though. They make sure folks have access to health care. They make sure folks have jobs. And then at the same time, you're like, but my friend is kind of throws the neighborhood out of whack. I don't know whether they're a friend or a gentrifier or someone who doesn't see color or someone who does. I mean, I think they maybe get a token invite to the cookout. But then there's times where I'm just not sure. And then they mean well, right? They do things like, in response to when there were the killings of Michael Brown and Eric Garner, two unarmed black men, this friend said, we were going to do stuff. They said we were going to race together, they called it. And they would write race together on cups of coffee in order to engage folks in conversations about race. It's kind of like when they tried to say that they didn't see color, too. I think they meant well, but it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And even a program like Race Together that was trying to do something about what happened to Eric Garner and to Michael Brown, it backfired, right? Because people saw it as superficial, a superficial gesture, kind of insensitive, kind of like when folks said you should wear safety pins or something like that. Basically, Starbucks was asking its employees to engage customers on a super sensitive topic about race that could hold up lines while you're getting your coffee, that could lead to arguments, that could get violent. And on top of that, I'm not sure these baristas that they wanted to have talk about race back in 2015 were trained to even do it. And then they had a campaign about it, too, and that campaign featured only white people. And then to add to that, they did a press release beginning with, it began with one voice, and that painted Howard Schultz as a visionary progressive for daring to discuss race as if people of color haven't already been doing that. Yeah, I'm talking about Starbucks. They're that friend that you're kind of cool with, but maybe at times it's felt uneasy. But yet you still hang out with them. I know a lot of y'all still getting those pumpkin spice lattes, at least up until a couple weeks ago. But then all this went down, and maybe we'll have to rethink our friendship. Starbucks.
What did they get called for? Because there are two black guys sitting here meeting me?
Yes, I didn't know
about that. Well, what did they do? What did they do? Someone told me they did.
They didn't do anything. I saw the entire thing.
They did what?
They did nothing. The woman says for a customer, they didn't do anything.
And then that happened. And so part of my question is, now what? Everyone's been covering it and commentating about it. I want to know, underdogs, what do you want Starbucks to do now? Because we've had some type of relationship with them. I mean, heck, I live in Harlem. And even in Harlem now, they're everywhere. What do you want that friend to do who's kind of been trying to do the right thing, but at the same time represents things like gentrification? And in this case now, represents potentially racial profiling and more. What do you want them to do? Well, let me tell you what Starbucks is offering to do. And then you let me know what you want them to do. Or maybe what they're doing is up. Maybe May 29th is now a special day for you too, because it's supposed to be a special one for Starbucks. Because Starbucks plans to close 8,000 company-owned stores for the afternoon on May 29th to educate employees, about 175,000 employees, about racial bias. Of course, this was prompted by the events that happened the other week when two black men were waiting for their friend in a Starbucks, and the store manager quickly, might I add, very quickly called the police to have them arrested. And the training that is going to happen during May 29th with Starbucks is supposedly put together by a bunch of experts, former Attorney General Eric Holder, Cheryl Eiffel, the president of the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, and Jonathan Greenblatt, the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League. So Starbucks is like, hey, we're going to pull out some of the heavy hitters, some folks who know about this topic, and we're going to talk about it and hopefully make things better. That's one of the things they're going to do. And on top of that, their CEO, Howard Schultz, has also been on record as discussing this topic too. Let's hear what he has to say about this all. And let me know, what do you want Starbucks to do? They've been doing some stuff up until now. But they're kind of that friend where it's like, eh, they say stuff like they don't see color. But they do stuff in the community, right? Jobs, healthcare. But then are they gentrifying too? They tried to race together, but that didn't quite work. Now they're kicking people out of their establishment, black folks, for just doing what everybody else does. You know, Starbucks is supposed to be the meeting place. And now you can't even go to Starbucks and chill out and wait for your friend without getting arrested. What do you want Starbucks to do? Is May 29th enough? Is this apology from Howard Schultz enough?
I think what occurred was reprehensible at every single level. I think I take it very personally, as everyone in our company does, and we're committed to making it right. The announcement we made yesterday about closing our stores, 8,000 stores closed, to do significant training with our people, it's just the beginning of what we will do to transform the way we do business and educate our people on unconscious bias.
But wait, there's more.
And I think the truth of the matter is that every one of us has a different life experience. And that different life experience, unfortunately, produces a level of bias or unconscious bias about what we feel as people. And I think we have an opportunity, with the help of Sherilyn Ifill from the NAACP and Brian Stevenson and Heather McGee, people who have been in this space for a long time, to help guide us, support
us. Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative.
Yes. And I want to say something that I think is very important. This is not going to be a one-day event where we're going to do something and leave. We're going to stay with this. It's going to be significant. It's going to endure. And we're going to transform the way we do business.
What do you want Starbucks to do? On May 29th, they're going to shut down their stores for some training. This thing called implicit bias. We'll talk about what that is. Supposedly, the manager who called the police is no longer working at that store location. That feels a little awkward to me, no longer working at the store location, which means I didn't hear the word fired. So I'm a bit confused. And here's Howard talking about the manager.
I would like to know more about the conversation with the manager yesterday. What did you say? What did she say? How is she feeling? Why did she make that call?
Well, the police. Yeah, I think for her, she is suffering herself in her own way. I think she recognizes that perhaps that call should not have been made. I don't think she intended, when she made the call, for the police to arrive and arrest the two young men.
What did she think was going to happen?
I think she probably thought that the police were going to talk to the men about what they were doing and why they were there. And I think you have to say, in looking at the tape, that she demonstrated her own level of unconscious bias. And in looking at the tape, you ask yourself whether or not that, in fact, was racial profiling.
What are you going to do with Starbucks, right? They're like that friend or that ally that you got mixed feelings about, right? They're like the friend who says they don't see color. And I know what they mean, but it still rubs you kind of the wrong way, right? They're that friend that does things in the community, healthcare, jobs. But at the same time, it feels like they sometimes throw the community off balance and potentially represent things like gentrification, which can often be a challenge and a struggle for a lot of our underdog communities. Let me know your thoughts. What do you want Starbucks to do? Do they still get to be in your life? Or are you like, no, I'm done. Through with them. Let's go to the phone lines and see what the underdogs think about it. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan. It's been too long.
Yes, I know.
Talk to me.
I have been to Walgreens. You can sit in there and write the Great American Novel. You don't even have to get up. I've seen people sit, and especially when they have the window seat, they don't get up. And nobody says anything. Nobody's nasty or, you know, but I'm just making the observation. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but it's a policy, at least here in New York, that, you know, there's no That's my problem with that. So why she would call police to ask them what they're doing there, that doesn't even make sense. But I, from another standpoint, I can understand him as a CEO, that he doesn't want to lose any more money than he's already losing now. So, you know, I don't know which way he's going, but in terms of what we should do, I don't think we should do anything. I think we should just sit back and see what he's going to do and stop reacting to it. Because he's the one losing money, not us. You can make some coffee. Stop being lazy. Have your cup of coffee. Go get yourself, you know, a thermos and work with it. There are other places to have coffee. I'm not going to mention the names, but I'm just saying there are other places to have coffee.
Tell them, Deborah, and I don't know about other cities, but we know here in Manhattan, and for those who are even closer to the station in Harlem, there are plenty of options to get coffee if folks should so choose to.
And so, you know, black people, before they were even allowed to go into a coffee shop, you know, I see people waiting online with their dog to go get their medication, and black people couldn't even go and have a cup of coffee with a hot dog in Woolworth. You understand? Let them wait and just see what they're going to do.
I think that's a good approach. And what I like about it is that it gives them the opportunity to see if they're going to do better. Because
exactly. And then after that, then you can make demands.
Yep.
You know, and not be nasty about it, but I'm talking about on a professional level, make demands. See what these young men are going to do. And see, there's another thing, too. And I'm going to say this about not all black people, but, you know, a lot of times when we get kicked in the ball, they turn around and they say, oh, this is not a black issue. It's a human issue. Okay, fine. Since you feel like that, then I'm gonna wait it out because I'm not getting myself worked up. If you can't see the forest for the trees, you want to be on a human level with people that treat you like animals,
well,
no problem.
Well,
I don't have a problem with it either.
Then you're not going to like the clip I'm going to play next when one of the gentlemen talks about it's a people thing.
Yeah, I know. But let him go ahead with his people thing.
Well, so because of that, let me catch people up to that. I want to play this clip. Just hold 1 second, because, Deborah, not everybody may have heard the clip that you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Hold 1 second. For everybody listening, this is one of the gentlemen who was arrested talking about what happened and his thoughts.
What do you want to see happen here, Dante?
I want to make sure that in this situation doesn't happen again. So what I want is for a young man or young men to not be traumatized by this and instead motivated, inspired.
And what do you want, Rashawn?
So, you know, take this opportunity as a stepping stone, you know, to really stand up and, you know, show your greatness and that you are not judged by the color of your skin as our ancestors were or anyone else. You know, this is something that has been going on for years and everyone's blind to it. But they know what's going on, if you get what I mean. And, you know, just really taking those actions and putting them in a place and, you know, help people understand that it's not just a black people thing. This is a people thing. And that's exactly what we want to see out of this, and that's true change. So put action into place and stop using your words.
And I just wanted to play that clip for folks who may not have known what Deborah was referring to. And I think that might have been what you were talking about, Deborah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to see it, you don't want to see it and represent yourself, then I'm not going to get out there and represent for you. I'm just not going to do that anymore. That's not happening. It's not going to happen. Nobody else does that. Nobody.
You're right.
Nobody. You understand? There's something really wrong with that.
There is. And
when you say that you don't see color, you know, I know a white teacher who said that. And she said that whenever you hear a person say something like that, a white person, you're dealing with a racist. You know, you can look at a person who has a dress on and say, oh, what a beautiful dress. That goes so wonderful with your tone. That means that you can see the color.
Well,
now, all of a sudden, when we get to skin, then it's something altogether different.
And one of the things I often like to say is, I don't mind you seeing color.
No, I don't either.
My problem is when you hold it against me. You can please see it.
Yeah.
But holding it against me is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, we're going to get into it. I'll talk about what I love you said about demands. And I got a list of some things I want. And I'll be curious to hear about other folks. What are some things they want? Because I want some things. Might as well. If they acting up and they want to hear from us, well, let's talk about some things we want to see happen.
Yeah. Great show.
Hey, appreciate you as always, Deborah.
Thank you, Gregory.
All right, now. Bye. And that was Deborah from Manhattan. The question is, Starbucks has been that friend that maybe you didn't grow up with, that friend who has a different culture than you do. Maybe you call them a friend, maybe you call them an ally, but you got mixed feelings about them. On one hand, they say stuff like, I don't see color. And then you kind of know what they mean, but it kind of rubbed you the wrong way. And then at the same time, they do things like in the community, they're helping folks get health care, they're helping folks get jobs. And then at the same time, you're like, but they kind of throw the community off balance, and maybe they represent gentrification, and maybe that things aren't evolving in a way that everybody wins. They're a friend that you hang out with sometimes. I seen y'all with those Starbucks cups getting coffee. Don't act like you haven't been drinking pumpkin spice lattes and caramel frappuccinos. Some of y'all might have even gave them the figurative token invite to the cookout. But now what? Deborah says she's going to keep them arm's length away right now. She ain't messing with them. Wants to see what they're going to do. And sometimes we do that with friends, right? They mess up and we don't write them off forever. We just say, I'm going to kind of sit back, see what they do, see if they change their ways. Is May 29th enough for you? May 29th, they're going to take a half a day, do some implicit bias training. We'll talk about what that is. I wanted to dive into it. I wanted to get a better feel. Like, what is that? Implicit, unconscious, conscious, kind of conscious, didn't really know, wasn't sure. Is that what happened? We'll talk about that. But I also want to know, what do you want, right? When people mess up, we get to make requests. We get to make demands. What do you want? I got a list of some things I want to see Starbucks do, especially in my city of brotherly love where I grew up and spent the first 23 years of my life. I know there's some things they might need to do nationally, but I want to go to the city and the area where this happened, and I got a list of things that if those two gentlemen don't want, I got a list of things that I want Starbucks to do. And you heard from Howard Schultz. He had an apology, and he's going to dedicate the afternoon of May 29th to implicit bias training. They're going to try to do better. Is that enough? Is that all we want? Is that all we need? As Jay-Z once said, difficult takes a day, impossible takes a week. I don't know if an afternoon is enough to conquer this thing, which feels impossible at times, and that's getting to equality and racial equality, to be specific. Also this week, there's been a bunch of apologies. Howard Schultz is apologizing. Haven't heard from that manager yet. I'm still a little disturbed that it says she no longer works at that location. I was looking for a stronger statement that said that she was terminated from Starbucks, but, you know, if you know more, especially for my folks in the 215 who listen to the show, holler at a brother. Let me know if there's been any developments on that piece. Also in the news was the police commissioner, Rick Ross, made a statement. And he was a little fugazi with his initial statement. And it rubbed people definitely the wrong way. And then he came up with another statement, another apology later in the week. And for those who may not have heard, this is what the police commissioner with his round two apology. Let me know. You feeling Police Commissioner Rick Ross after this apology? You buying all of it? Kind of? Sort of? Maybe? Let me know.
First of all, good afternoon. I'm here to discuss the unfortunate incident that has been in the news about this great city. An incident that I fully acknowledge that I played a significant role in making worse. For starters, I should have said the officers acted within the scope of the law and not that they didn't do anything wrong. Words are very important. While it is no excuse, my lack of awareness of the Starbucks business model played a role in my messaging. While this is apparently a well-known fact with Starbucks customers, not everyone is aware that people spend long hours in Starbucks and aren't necessarily expected to make a purchase. I've had multiple discussions over the last few days, and it is a, I shouldn't say a well-known fact, but a widespread belief that everyone knows that about Starbucks. I'm here to tell you that I did not, and it is also reasonable to believe that the officers didn't know it either, as I have spoken to a number of people who are not Starbucks customers, who are not aware. I was under the belief that people went there and they spent hours and hours, but that the expectation was that they bought something first. I was not unaware. I was not aware of that, and so that is on me. I can appreciate, in light of the Starbucks policy and how well known it is to many, why these two men were appalled when they were asked to leave. For this reason, me, I apologize to them.
And that was Police Commissioner Rick Ross with a do-over, with a second apology and attempting to give some perspective as to why he saw it one way initially, right after the incident, and now sees it a different way. Seems he now has a better understanding of what happens at Starbucks. You buying it? We gonna give him the benefit of the doubt? He and his officers didn't know much about Starbucks. And even if they did, does that still seem like the next best move is to arrest two men and detain them for up to, I believe, 8-9 hours? Let me know. May 29th, is it enough? So, speaking of demands, Deborah mentioned this, and I think I want to go there. So, what do you want? What do you want Starbucks to do? Right? They have 175,000 employees. I'm going to make the assumption that that one store manager doesn't represent every single Starbucks employee. And that not in every Starbucks, at least I don't think so, that they just arresting black folks as soon as they walk through the door. Although in this case, they did. Some folks say, let's wait and see what they're going to do. May 29th, going to solve everything, right? Probably not. What do you want to see happen next? Are you even going to still mess with Starbucks? Or are they off your friends list? As I talked about earlier, when we say you got some of those friends or allies that you're a little uneasy about, is this the last straw for you? I got some demands, though. Since Starbucks is known as a meeting place, and since it's often known to be in a lot of neighborhoods and some underdog neighborhoods at that, I would love for them to open up their space for free to community organizations, especially those that deal with things that matter to the black community or things that matter to some of the urban communities that they're in, a free space for organizations to have meetings, to have events. That would be one demand. Also, I want to see the invite list for May 29th. If the invite list doesn't include that former manager, if the invite list doesn't include those two police officers, if the invite list doesn't include Police Commissioner Rick Ross, if the invite list doesn't include the mayor of Philadelphia, then I don't think they got the right invite list for their May 29th day of implicit bias training. I also want to see this as more than just a one-off. Because if difficult takes a day and impossible takes a week, then I definitely know May 29th just as a one-off won't be enough. Also, I want to see them develop some type of food and or coffee program with area schools, especially public schools in the Philly area, and maybe branch it out to other cities that Starbucks is in. And if you're saying to me, Gregory, why are you making all these demands? It was just one manager just doing one thing. Well, there's a lot of making up to do in this country. And I'm tired of always being calm and turning the other cheek and just saying, hey, your apology's enough. Well, sometimes that's not enough. And maybe if the demands are too much or overwhelming, maybe it might lead to some other places to think twice about how they handle these situations when they happen again, because we know they will. Let me know. As Deborah said, we get to make our demands. What are your demands? And so the question I've been asking, what's up with you and your, you know, friend that you got mixed feelings with? You still going to mess with Starbucks, or you're like, nah, I'm good. You're unfriending them. It's May 29th, enough for you, where they are going to have a day of implicit bias training. Not even a day, I think it's an afternoon. Going to shut down 8,000 of their own stores and about 175,000 employees, and they're going to do something. So they're taking a step, right? It's a step in the right direction. You good with that, or do you want more? I got a list of demands. What are your list of demands? It seems that the two gentlemen who were involved in this, they have their point of view on things. Police commissioner has his point of view. Howard Schultz has his. What's yours? We'd love to hear whether or not you are still going to be, quote unquote, friends with Starbucks. And is May 29th enough for you? It's not enough for me. I got a list of demands. But they keep saying this word, implicit bias. Implicit bias. I was wondering, so I wanted to kind of figure that out. And I thought appropriate for us to dig into it just a little bit. What is implicit bias? It's the automatic association people make between groups of people and stereotypes about these groups. The bias can be subconsciously influenced. The bias can subconsciously influence people. They have given rise to phenomenon known as racism without racists. That don't sound too good. There's training that focuses on reducing this phenomena. Research, though, has shown that bias associations can be gradually unlearned and replaced with unbiased ones. And there's been a push to have police departments take some type of implicit bias training. It's reported that, according to The Atlantic, that implicit bias training is offered in at least 4 states for state police and their training academics. There are some local departments in over a dozen states that offer implicit bias training too. And despite the idea becoming more popular, it is unclear if the classes actually work. And isn't that disheartening that we know that there's this challenge of bias and it's still rather unclear whether it can even for sure be trained to be unlearned. And at the same time, despite this idea of implicit bias training becoming more popular to make sure police get trained in it, but there aren't really that many specific guidelines. Like, what should the course include? How should they be taught? How can it be measured as effects? So it's like we kind of know there's a problem. We're kind of working on it, and we're kind of not. And why is this important? Well, it's especially important if you're a Black American, because a third more where as a Black American, I would, or and if you listening happen to be a Black American, you would be a third more likely to be stopped by police, up to a third more likely to be ticketed during a stop, 3 times more likely to be searched, 3 times more likely to be subject to use of force, and unarmed Black people are 3.5 times more likely to be shot by police than unarmed whites. In a study that was done where officers were shown white and Black subjects with something in their hands and then had to decide whether to shoot or not, officers were quicker to decide to shoot the armed Black subjects than the white one. They took longer to spare unarmed Blacks, and there was virtually no racial discrepancies in the officers' mistaken shots. Later, it was shown that the bias seemed to creep in when the officers were under mental stress. It's not easy when your skin color triggers mental stress for folks. And that's just a little bit about implicit bias. I wanted to take a moment to at least share what I've heard about it, what some people are saying about it. Some people think it's a good thing. And then you even have people like this gentleman, Ben Shapiro, saying that maybe it's not something that we should be worried about at all.
Implicit bias, unconscious bias, and biased behavior has yet to be proven at any level that is even remotely necessary to be used in, for example, a courtroom, which is why it's never been used in a courtroom. It is also true that there is no way, there really isn't, there's been no proven way to alleviate what they call unconscious bias, which means that we're ghost hunting.
Maybe May 29th isn't going to be enough. Let me know. Implicit bias coming to 175,000 employees of Starbucks near you. What do you want? I haven't been to a Starbucks since this whole thing unfolded. And I am in the Deborah camp where I will not be going back at least until after May 29th and see what happens between now and then. And I got some demands of Starbucks, especially in the Philly area. I want them to open up their stores for meeting spaces, for community groups, especially those that deal with race, especially with those that deal with policing. You know, Starbucks is selling coffee, but they're also in the real estate. They got some spaces. Open them up for free. I got another request. The invite list is short a few people. I know it's going to include 175,000 of their employees, but if it doesn't have that former manager, then the list is incomplete. If it doesn't have Police Commissioner Rick Ross of Philadelphia, the list is incomplete. If it doesn't have the two police officers that arrested those two black men, the list is incomplete. If it doesn't have the mayor of Philadelphia, the list is incomplete. Also, half a day. This type of training should be annual. And then also I want Starbucks to initiate some type of food and coffee programs with area community centers and or public schools. And have it be ongoing. That's my list. What's on your list? Because when things don't go well or we're frustrated, acknowledging and listening to folks' apologies is one thing. But then we also get to make requests about what would work going forward. That's my list. What's your list?
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.